I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds. Jeremiah, I have a question for you. I mean, obviously you're my son, but I wanted to get your perspective. How do you feel growing up as a PK? Like, how did it affect your life? Whether positive or negative?
I think negatively it was more a lot of pressure, I would say. Pressure in the sense of that as a pastor's kid, you couldn't do anything wrong. It always had to be by the book, and there was no room for mistakes, and we always had to make sure, like, the past, you know, our parents looked good.
Pressure was from the outside, not from us.
Yeah, it wasn't from you guys. It was more so from outside perspective, eyes looking at us, where the church should be like a hospital for the broken, where, you know, it's understood that you can fall on your face, but it didn't feel that way when you're a pastor's kid, because you're a pastor's kid is that much more pressure. And then the positive side about it is that you kind of got certain perks with it, I guess.
Perks in what aspect?
And perks like, you know, like, this is my parents' church. You know what I mean? Like, don't tell me what to do kind of thing.
Not that you would ever say that to
somebody. Not that I would ever say that to anybody or anything like that. But, you know, like, I think the positive, if I can, all kidding aside, the positive stuff was more so like gleaning from you guys, learning, because we're in your face 24/7, where the church only gets to see you certain days throughout the week. We get to see you guys 24/7. So we know what it is to pray on our knees. We know what it is to, you know, lose things, but also be content. Just like your man Paul says, right? I'm content when I have everything, and I'm content when I have nothing. I think those were great lessons to learn, because if I didn't have those lessons, I don't think I'm the man I am today. So, you know, the positive sides of it is seeing that, and then you guys being examples, you know, facing things head on, you know, every obstacle head on. It was never let's sweep everything under the rug and act like everything's perfect or everything is okay. Or, you know, it was, oh no, either we don't got it and God has to come through, or we just simply don't got it and we have to be content with that. Mm-hmm. That's humbled me in so many ways. You know, obviously, you know, I've lived with you for 30 years. We've lost a lot of things, but we also gained a lot of things too. And then in the midst of like losing things, that's where my faith was produced. You know, when I was younger, I would have ride on your faith a lot, you and Dad. You know, I thought you guys were my ticket to heaven. So, you know, it was what it was. It was like, I got my golden ticket, like Willy Wonka, I got my golden ticket.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't until, you know, we lost our house due to foreclosure the first time. Yeah, first of many. But they were all lessons, for sure. And that's when my faith began. That's when my faith began, because I remember we were separated. You were with Sister Cindy and Brother Ruben's house, and I was living with my boy Ramel at the time. And I remember having a vulnerable moment and telling God I hated him. I genuinely hated him. Because, you know, you hear about this God that always provides. You hear about this God that, you know, like, it will never leave nor forsake you, or this, that, a third. And it just felt like he wasn't there. It felt like he wasn't there in that moment. So I told God boldly, and I remember I was crying in my friend's apartment. I was like, I hate you. I don't know why you let this happen, but I hate you. And right from there is where my relationship began. I started praying more. I started seeking God more. My friend Ramel at the time helped me lose when I was in college. They say you either gain the freshman 15 or you lose the freshman 15, but I gained the freshman 60. So he helped me lose all that weight. But also, as he's helping me lose all that weight physically, I'm learning spiritually what it is to have my relationship with God and, you know, really dive into the word, not understanding it quite much, but trying to understand who God was and who he was to me and who he said that I was. You know, in that time period, I was trying to figure out who I was. So there was there's a lot that comes with being a pastor's kid, but I'm thankful for that moment because it made me who I am now.
So, all right. So I just want to put this out there that after this podcast, we're going to have a little heart to heart because you never shared that with me.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about this behind the scenes. But now, in front of the scenes. So can I tell you that not knowing that, one of my greatest fears, and I got angry with God too. And I think anger arises when we don't understand God's plan. Mm-hmm. We're enduring it, but we don't understand it. And in the midst of that, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but I actually started to doubt God. And one of my arguments to God was, I said, now my children are going to stop believing in you. And that was my greatest fear as a mom. Mm-hmm. So all my life, all I knew was God, right? My parents were also pastors. They raised me in the church. And all I knew was God. So we were constantly preaching this God, just like you said earlier, that nothing is impossible for, this God that always comes through, this God that always makes a way. And my fear and my argument to him in private was like, God, my kids are going to hate you. And that was my greatest fear. I said, my kids are going to hate you. And then I started to doubt God. And I remember vividly sitting in my car and saying, is this God even real? Mm-hmm. Like, I surpassed the angry part, right? And I started saying, is this God even real? And then I started going back over the moments where he did show up, right? And I was like, but he has to be real, because I remember this, and I remember when he did that, and I remember, but I just couldn't understand what God was doing right there and then.
Yeah.
Right? But now in hindsight, we look back, and now I fully understand, and I hope you fully understand, that hope was birthed out of that experience.
Yeah.
Like right now, we wouldn't be hope had we not had to endure this type of process to gain hope. You know, you can't give what you don't have. I've always been a firm believer. You cannot ever give what you don't have. So in order for us to be hope and to give hope, we had to experience the lowest of the valleys.
Yeah, for sure.
But it amazes me that I didn't even know that you had experienced that, but I had experienced that. And that was my greatest fear. I said, God, my children are going to stop serving you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a hard period of time in our both of our lives, in all of our lives, right? But I thank God because we're all that more better for it.
Yeah, for sure.
So talk to me about another experience, another negative. I want to hear about another negative experience because, you know, when we speak at church, you know, everything is positive and positive. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I think that people need to understand that we have our bad moments too. We're not exempt.
Absolutely.
Just because we serve God does not mean that we are exempt of hard times and trials. So speak to me about another negative. You already spoke about the time we lost the house due to foreclosure. Speak to me about another negative encounter you had when it comes to church.
Negative encounter when I've come to church? I don't know necessarily if I had a negative encounter, but it was more so like a one-on-one with myself, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So more so like, I'll never forget, it was my freshman year in college, and I knew it clear in my head. I had it planned out. I was like, I want nothing to do with God. None. I just wanted to.
Moment he never shared, but yeah, we'll take this up after.
I had made this decision like once I was finally in campus, I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna do me.
But what made you go there? Like, why?
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even tell you what led me there. And they usually say that, you know, especially with pastors' kids, they usually say that like once the pastor kid leaves the home, they don't know how to act. I had a brief moment like that, right? Kind of like a prodigal son moment. Kind of like I just left. I was like, yo, give me my inheritance. I'm gonna dip real quick. I'm gonna see what this life is about. So, you know, like my freshman year, I'll never forget, school was starting, and I just made a decision. I was like, you know, I'm good. I'm all right. I don't need you. I'm good.
There was no specific encounter. There was no prereq.
There's no prereq that I can, that, to my recollection, no. It was just, I made this decision mentally. I don't know where it came from. I just wanted to do me.
Was it your friends? Was it your surroundings?
Nope. I wasn't easily influenced because of you. You always told me every time in high school, you're a leader, not a follower. I'm like, Mom, I know, Ma, I know. So like that
you
always
have to, like, drill it in.
Yeah, that always stuck with me. So I was never easily influenced. I just made a mental decision. It wasn't a good one, but you know, I made a decision that I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna see what that looked like. I want to see. I want a taste of this and see what
it
looks like.
I remember that vividly.
Yeah. So you know, that whole year, I didn't care about class. Didn't care about school. I socialized. I played basketball a lot because I went to Seton Hall University. Shout out to Shoe Pirates. And I met a lot of great people there, but I wanted to do me. Whatever that looked like, I wanted to do me. And needless to say, I finished school well that year with a 1A GPA. You know, I almost flunked out of school at that time period.
And not because we weren't counseling.
No,
him
no,
because
the they were. I just wasn't
we were
trying to hear
him,
it.
Like,
yeah, I wasn't trying to hear it. So It wasn't until that summer, which led to everything. I was just like, okay, like I know what it is to be without God. You know, the word says that God will never leave nor forsake you. He was always there. I just didn't open the door to him. I was just like, now you stay over there and I'm gonna stay on my part. And it wasn't until that summer that I really just came to my senses. And it was just that moment, us losing our house. And it just all came full circle because if I think about it, it reminds me of like the story of Joseph, but in a different way, because Joseph had a dream. I didn't have a dream, but in a sense that Joseph had a dream, he was irresponsible with the dream and told the wrong people, but God had to prune him through a process. There was a 22 year gap between that dream and then him entering the palace.
Absolutely.
So, but in the in-between is where God molded him into everything he needed him to be. He had to work some things out. I feel like during that time period, when I had that vulnerable moment in Ramel's house, he was doing the same thing to me. He put me with Ramel for a reason. And I thank you, Ramel, for opening your doors to me. He opened the doors to me and he helped me lose weight, right? I don't think I would have been able to do that on my own. He helped me, you know, come to my senses and be like, yo, dude, it's all going to be okay.
I honestly don't remember you ever being big.
That's fine. I was big. She's my mom. She saw me every
honestly,
day.
I don't remember.
She saw me every day. So I was not. Nah, I was big. I think, nah, not that year. But the heaviest I ever been was 260. But that's neither here nor there. But wow. But that year, I remember I gained a lot of weight, and he helped me.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he helped me with everything. Like he helped me get back to my senses. He helped me start thinking clearer. And Ramel wasn't so spiritual, to be honest. Like, and he wasn't a bad influence either. So it was cool to be around him. Like I think we argued one time, maybe the entire time living with one another. But yeah, never had a problem, but he always kept me on the right path. And even if I wanted to stray, I'll never forget. There was this one time in the gym. I was like, dog, I'm tired of doing this. He had me doing this crazy stuff, but it was working. I was losing a pound a day. And I was talking about, I'm tired of this,
yo,
man.
Put me on that.
I would never do that again. But I was like, yo, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of doing this. He goes, you know what? Be fat all your life. I'm leaving.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. For verbatim.
Be fat all your life.
He's like, you won't be fat all your life? All right, fine. So he went to the bathroom. And I already knew. I was just uncomfortable and I was tired. So I went back and I was like, bro, I'm sorry. I'm just tired. You got me doing all this stuff. I'm just tired. He goes, all right, come on, let's get back to work. So like, if it wasn't for that relationship and that time period, I don't know what would have propelled me to my next, when I went to school the next year. Because when I went to school the next year, that's when I started getting my GPA up. That's when I started
studying.
That's when I started, what did we call it? It wasn't cell group.
Small groups.
It was small groups. Okay, so we started small groups. And that's where my relationship started kicking in even more, because during that time period, Pastor Glenn was speaking about faith and different aspects of faith. And I remember it was me, Vanessa, Gershon, and Ariel. We were all supposed to lead this group of people. I didn't know who was going to come, how they were going to be. And come to find out, this classroom, I think I still have a picture, it was completely packed out. With a whole bunch of people. And I'm just like, oh, man, that's great. And so, like, I studied. I know for a fact. And I'm just like, you guys studied? They're like, nah. I was like, okay, so I guess I'm going to put the team on my back. You know, I taught about faith and my story went alongside it. And, you know, a lot of people left blessed after it, you know, after the one class. And they would just text me like, yo, that really touched me and blah, blah, blah. I'm not really into the spiritual thing, but you kind of helped me propel, you know, kind of want to kick that start with a relationship with a guy. And I was like, all right, cool. And I'll never forget one of my boys, Chris, that I still keep in contact with. He texts me on the side. He said, yo, if it wasn't for you, yo, I don't think I'd have the relationship with God that I have, because, you know, you really helped me understand like what it is to have faith, what it is to live through faith and stuff like that. So that's where it all began. So like being a pastor's kid has its positive, has its negatives, but it's definitely more positive I see from my perspective because it built me into who I am today. It really did.
All right. So I heard a little bit about your negative side, which I didn't know about prior to this meeting. So we will have that little discussion later.
Because you know, I think I told her. She probably forgot.
No.
She
no,
definitely
he never
forgot.
Told me.
She definitely forgot.
Because had he told me that prior, I would have remembered. Like, I got teary-eyed just hearing him. But anyway, let's speak about a positive moment. Let's talk about being a pastor's kid and having a positive moment. What does that look like?
There's so many different aspects. Honestly, because I'm a pastor's kid and you guys have taught so much about leadership, that's one topic I fell in love with, leadership. What I didn't understand about leadership is what the cost it came with, right? So like, you know, you see, you know, you guys are my parents and you guys are pastors. So you see like you guys living it out, but you don't really see the cost you got to pay for it.
Right, right.
So like it helped me in different aspects, like especially when it came to leadership, because leaders can't just do whatever they want to do. Right.
We teach this all the
time.
Yeah,
leaders can't do whatever they want to do. Like leaders have to understand who's around them, who they can take their mask off in front of, how to set that tone in a group, and understanding what you can say and what you can't say.
And what about the fact that you can't do a lot of things?
Oh, that too.
Not because it's a sin.
Yeah.
But because you're trying to help somebody else with the perspective they have of you.
Yeah, you have
so
you
it's
have
not to be, that it's a sin, you can't do it, but it's just not beneficial for those that are observing you from the outside.
The way I see it is like you guys always say more requires more, right?
Right.
Like if you wanna attract certain things, you have to be that certain thing, right? So if you wanna be a leader or you want to understand what it is about, you have to live the thing. It's not a coat that you just put on or you take off. It's not, it's who you are. And everybody's a leader. You know, leadership is nothing, it's influence, nothing more, nothing less, right?
Right.
So you guys helped me understand, like, I am a leader. So, and you've always told me that. But now I get to decide what leader I want to be, what type of leader I want to be, what do I want to look like, who does God say I look like, you know, what does he want me to be? So it helped me understand that. And, you know, you guys corrected me many times, like certain things I can't say, certain things I can say. I shouldn't say this. I should say this. And you know what I mean? It's not like where you enter a religion. It's like, oh, don't do this. It's not that. It's correction. Like correction. Like any good parent is going to, out of love, is going to correct their child. So, you know, for me.
And we're still correcting you.
Yeah, absolutely. That never stops. The moment you stop learning or the moment you stop accepting correction, they say you should just die.
Right.
Because at that point. Right. You have nothing to give.
As a leader, we always must remain teachable.
Absolutely. Right? Always remain coachable. And that's everywhere, part of life. That's every part of life. So like helping me understand the topic of leadership has humbled me in so many aspects of so many ways where like back then when you would give me advice, I wouldn't want to hear from you.
Absolutely not.
At all. We said this last episode. I said this last episode.
He got on my nerves so bad.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
I didn't want to hear any advice. Now I can take a step back and hear what you have to say.
But you know what annoyed me about you?
What?
The fact that your father can say the same exact thing.
She said this last episode, too. But whatever.
And you were perfectly fine with it. I said it. And no matter how I try to say it, I mean, I was as sweet as pie. Right, Mom. No, Mom. Like, you know, just gave me this attitude. Like,
you know what it is? Because dad's, you guys are two different people, right?
Obviously.
Dad's the more the type that he'll observe and let you make the mistakes and won't say nothing until you come to him. You're the type that,
I'm
like,
trying to save you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to save you.
You're like, Jeremiah, there's a hole there. Don't go for it. I'm like, Ma, there ain't no hole there. I'm going to go forward. You're like, Jeremiah, I'm telling you, I lived that 10 years ago. There's a hole there. Maybe a different time, same game.
And this is why he fell so many times.
Yes, I had to learn the hard way, but it's fine. It is what it is. But now that I understand what leadership entails and everything about it, I can look at you and be like, all right, let me take a step back. Let me digest what you're trying to tell me and then take what I can from it. Are we always going to agree? Absolutely not. And that's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's fine. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to love you and I know your intentions are pure. So, and also, you know, listen to another podcast called Leadership Lean In by Pastor Chad Veach. That's helped me a lot. Made me fall deeper in love with what leadership is. And it's just about getting a little bit better every single day. So
has the bad superseded the good? Or has the good superseded the bad when it comes to being a PK? What would you think? Or is it even?
I think, I mean, for me, I can only speak for me. For me, I think they're even. I think it's like anything else in life, realistically speaking. Like, I think it's just straight even. I don't think one outweighs the other. I look at it as, you know, Kobe Bryant said like this, either either you win or you learn, right? So
either way, you win.
Exactly, because you're learning.
If you're learning, you're winning.
Exactly.
Right?
So, you know, for me, like from the bad times, I learned. And then from the good times, I still learned. So, you know, there's still nuggets of wisdom as time goes on. And I now I understand how to apply it being a PK. And like it, I'm not like most PKs where it may be like a hefty struggle for them. It's never been a struggle for me. It's always been like a one-on-one battle with myself and my spiritual walk, but never like, like, man, I'm a pastor's kid, so I got to do that. I never saw it that way. I always thought it was cool being a pastor's kid. I never, like, I thought it was what it was. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that God has called over your life and dad's life, and I respect it. And something God has called over my life, too. So instead of running from it, I always, my prayer is always that I want to be like David in a sense of, like, I want to be known as a man after God's own heart. And he always ran towards God, never ran away. So I always want to run towards God. So that's what's helped me understand, like through your eyes and through seeing you and dad pray at 5 a.m, going to war spiritually. I'm just like, dang, that's crazy, yo. But that's what I get to do. You know, that's what I'm going to have to do when I have a wife and soon to be and my own household. I have to pray like that. I have to get on my knees like that. And there's certain sacrifices I have to make just to meet God at any time of the hour. You know what I mean? Like, I think if I'm not a pastor's kid or if I don't go have you guys as parents, I don't know where I'd be. I don't think I get those lessons or those nuggets that other people have.
Well, you already know your father and I didn't have, there is no guide.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Take these 100 steps to having a perfect PK pastor's kid, right? But knowing what you know now, right? Because I believe that we experience certain things and then we could always turn around and be like, I remember growing up. And again, I was a PK. I remember growing up and there were certain things that my parents did. I still remember being in the car and thinking, when I grow up, I'm not going to do this to my kids. Mm. When I grow up, my parents were good for, I would ask for an explanation, right? Because that's me. I always need to understand, right? And I was like, but why is this? And but why is that? And their answer 9 out of 10 times was always, because I said so.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, it was a different era back then. So I don't know if they found it hard to explain or if they thought I wouldn't understand when they would explain to me. Mm-hmm. But I remember being in the backseat of the car and thinking to myself, when I have kids one day, I'm never going to tell them because I said so. Because to be quite honest with you, that irked my soul. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, what do you mean? Like, to me, there had to be a reason behind what you're stipulating, right? So I set out to determine, I think that's why I was so verbal with you, because in my mind, I couldn't just let you do what you wanted to do without explaining to you the repercussions that were going to come.
Yeah.
Right? But that was me. And that was due to the way I was brought up, right? So knowing what you know now, right? And because you're already on the path, I'm so proud of you, to becoming a youth pastor. One day when you have your kids, what would that moment be like? Like, did you say like me, like, oh, when I, you know, when I'm a father one day, I'm not going to do this or I'm going to do it that way. Like, did you ever have that moment? And if you did, how do you envision yourself training your children? Because now they're going to be PKs.
I don't think I've ever had a moment like that, honestly, realistically speaking, because I never asked, or even if I had asked why, you guys always explained. Even if it was hard for me to understand, you guys did your best to explain. So there was never a moment where it's just like, well, they're terrible at this and I'm never going to be terrible at that. Like, so no, not at all.
It's not that I felt like my parents were terrible. I honor them and I thank God for them because of my upbringing. I am who I am today. But their lack of communication, their lack of explaining. You know what I mean? Like, it used to just irk me. What do you mean, because? Because I said so. What do you mean? Like,
But I think you, it's like you said, it's kind of like a different time. So, like, I think we're in a time where, like, you can explain something to me, but I can also do my own research on my other hand. You know what I mean? Where you can,
I don't know, but do you do your research? Because I'm very explicit.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? You have to.
So even after I tell you something, you still do your own little...
Yeah, sometimes. Like, if I still have questions, and I'm like, all right, this is the perspective, that, but somebody may have a different perspective than something else. You know what I mean? Like, I can't come to my parents and think they know everything. If, that's just ignorant. But, you know, like, but what else is out there? You know what I mean? Not in a sense of, like, I'm trying to leave the nest and do foolish things, but in a sense of, like, I want more wisdom. So who else can I go to and stuff like that?
So how would you raise your kids? So what does that look like to you?
I would raise my kids how you raised us. Like, starting off with Jesus time. You know, you know, I always remember Jesus time, and that's how I was introduced to Kurt Franklin. I'll never forget Kurt Franklin, my man, brighter day. Okay, so
he's still amazing.
Yeah, he's still amazing. And I listen to him when I work out. Everybody knows, if you know me personally, you know I love Kurt. So, like, I think Jesus time was everything to me. Like, those small moments, that helped me to understand, like,
talk to them, because they're probably thinking, like, what the heck is Jesus time?
Oh, sorry. I should probably explain. That's true, because I'm talking to my mother. But, like, Jesus time, what it entailed was us going into the living room. And my dad had the old surround sound stereo. I'm talking about box TVs. They didn't have flat TVs back then, but box TVs, right? And they would play.
We had what was out at the time.
Yeah, it was fly for what was at the time, right?
So it was a Kenwood stereo.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice. So, like, he would blast Kurt Franklin, and sometimes my dad would whip out his alto saxophone and he would play the saxophone, but we would sing along with the record, and we would sing along with different songs. And I'll never forget, like it was yesterday. It was 1011 Hartsville Drive in Lakewood in the living room. And that part in Kurt Franklin, Brighter Day, was like Brighter Day, and the men would go and the women would go. Right. And it'd be you, Vanessa, and Leah do the Brighter Day, and me and Dad do the Brighter Day. And Becca and Marcus, they were young at the time, so I don't really remember them being there. And if they were, they're probably really small. But
they were just jumping around, annoying.
Yeah, so during that time period, it was just like, that meant everything to me. And I looked forward to that because there was so much peace. And I had no idea what was going on, but I knew it was fun. And I had so much fun, and I felt God's presence at such a young age. But like those moments, it was that moment that I would have raised my kids the same exact way, just so they can just get a taste of, like, this is what it is to be in God's presence. So you now you understand, like, even if you don't understand, you have some recollection, and hopefully this sticks with you as time goes on. But, you know, being raised in church all your life, you know, you get to.
But that was something else that I didn't experience because my parents were pastors. And unlike nowadays, we were in church almost every day. So we were in church Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, and Sunday twice.
Yeah, nah.
You know, this generation complains about going to Bible study on Wednesday and going to church on Sunday once. Like, you guys, you know, you guys don't know how easy you had it. But, you know, you had to be there. So my parents never did Jesus time with us. But I guess it's because we practically lived at the church, so.
Yeah, I don't know how y'all did that. I mean, we don't complain now, but, like, to do what y'all did back then, services in one day, like, I'm sorry, but that's a no for me, Doug. I love what we do now, but, like, even if you guys require the church to come more, I remember I complained to you a long time ago. I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this. You want me to go to Hope this many days? I got to worry about gas, and you told me more requires more. And, again, that was one of those moments where I just sat back, and I was just like, okay. I say, you're right. More does require more. I was just in my feelings, so it is what it is. So, like, now that, you know, if you guys ask us, oh, be here, I'm there. No questions asked. I'm always there on time. If you know me, I run on American time, not minority time. So, you know, like, I'm always there.
Going back to what I was telling you before, I think your father and I came up with Jesus time because we were so used to old school, where we were in church 4 or 5 times a week. Versus now, we're in church twice a week. Well, back then, under Pastor Glenn, we were in church 3 times, right? Tuesday night Bible study, Thursday night prayer, and then Sunday.
Then Sunday,
you know,
yeah.
So, you know, we went from 5 times to 3. Mm-hmm. That was getting a little bit better.
I still complained then when we were doing that.
And you didn't even have to drive back then. I mean.
Yeah, I was young, but I was
anyway,
just like, I don't
we
know.
Developed, we came up with a system of Jesus time because we knew what it was to be intimate with God. And we wanted you guys to have that experience. So that was something else that we developed to be intentional, to show you guys what it is. It wasn't only experiencing God in the four walls. of a building that we call a church, because we know now that we are the church, right?
Absolutely.
Every time we walk out there, we are the church.
Yeah.
But we wanted you to experience God not only in that building, but wherever you guys were.
Yeah.
So we were intentional about giving you guys Jesus time, and worship is what God created us to do, right?
That's absolutely.
The whole purpose of our creation is to be worshipers. So that's why we developed that little thing. But, you know, that's why I ask you, since you're getting ready to get married in a couple of months.
Time is ticking. Time is ticking. Yeah.
As you get together, and I know eventually you guys are going to have kids. I'm giving you about a year, year and a half.
Solid year.
So when you have my grandchildren, my little babies, what is their upbringing? And I think this is like the third time I'm asking you. I want to envision.
Way.
Yeah, I am, because you're still not giving me the answer I want. So what is their upbringing going to entail?
I think what I'm going to do is take a play out of your playbook. I'm always going to tell my kids, you're leaders, not followers. And that's something I'm going to tell them when they're born. That's something I'm going to constantly remind them. Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be the leader I am. Because I'm so confident in the leader I am is because you instilled that into me. It's like you brought it up in one of your sermons about Muhammad Ali. Before he was even great, his coach told him all the time, you're the greatest of all time. You're the greatest of all time. And to the point where he started believing it and he became it, right? It's the same thing here. So that's something I'm going to instill in my kids, that you're a leader, you're not a follower. You're a leader, you're ahead, you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. So I will speak life into my children. And Natalie's my fiance, soon to be wife. We'll find our own form or flavor of Jesus time. What you guys did for me was give me the blueprint. So now I get to put my own flavor on it. Whatever that may look like.
I cannot wait.
Whatever that may look like, it'll happen. But until then, a year or so, until then, we'll keep it there.
So it's a year after you get married? A year?
I want to enjoy my marriage. I still got to find a house, guys. Pray for me, please. I got to find a house and somewhere to live.
God has already provided. You just have to walk up into it.
You're absolutely right. But until then, I don't want to see no kids yet.
Oh, God, I do.
They're expensive.
They can come to my house.
And That's fine. Take your money.
Oh, my God. But anyway, thank you so much for being brutally honest today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted our viewers to know that just because you're a PK doesn't mean your life is perfect. As a matter
absolutely
of fact,
absolutely not.
I think PKs make the biggest mistakes.
For sure.
But also have the greatest victories because of it.
Absolutely.
And like you said earlier, it shapes you into who God created you to be. So it's just a molding ground, right? For God to mold you in the midst of your mistakes and in your errors to become exactly what He intended for you to be anyway.
Absolutely. 1,000%. 1,000%.
I thank God for the opportunity of being your mom.
And I'm honored to be your son.
Love you.
I love you more. So guys, if you liked this episode, make sure you like, subscribe. We're on all podcast platforms. Again, give us a comment. Give us a review. Tell us what you want us to hear. And shout out to Vanessa Films for being our producer. Always killing it with the editing. And if you need future work, again, at Vanessa Films on her Instagram. Go check her out.
Hey, do me a favor. If you know of a PK personally, or maybe it's one of your kids or a sibling, share this with them. We pray that they're blessed by it.